question. You mentioned in your talk on humanitarian activities within ISKCON that some statements of the Acharya are eternal and some are contextual. So how do we know which statements of the Acharya are eternal and which are contextual? Won't we be going down a slippery slope by relativizing all the instructions of the Acharya if we start discriminating them in this way? Answer: yes, certainly that danger is there, and especially as conditioned souls who have a tendency to rebel against authority, we may very well rationalize our own desire for independence in the name of, or rather rationalize our desire for independence by declaring a certain instruction as contextual even when it is not. So therefore, if we just use our own intelligence to decide this, then we will be in trouble. So therefore, within the Vedic tradition itself, there is a epistemological method for understanding these things. And that epistemological method is Guru Sadhu Shastra. So if we consider the Guru as independent of Sadhu and Shastra, then we become reduced to fans of a superstar personality, basically. It may be a spiritual personality. The whole Krishna consciousness movement can become reduced to a personality cult. And when that happens, then in that case, we disconnect Srila Prabhupada from what he told us was the source of his authority. That he was repeating the words of Shastra as he had received it through the parampara of sadhus. So therefore, when we see the statements of Guru in the light of Sadhu and Shastra, then we understand how spiritual knowledge actually works. We shouldn't think of the parampara as just some frozen bits of information that are passed down from Gurus, from along the parampara from Krishna down to us. Yes, there is certainly some core information, but it's a living knowledge, and living knowledge has to respond to living situations, and that response is possible only through living persons. So living persons express that living knowledge according to living circumstances, and it is through that the dynamism and the relevance of the scriptural knowledge remains generation after generation after generation. So naturally, therefore, Srila Prabhupada told us that we need to see him as the representative of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, ultimately of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada never claimed that his source of authority was some direct connection with Krishna, although Srila Prabhupada did say that on Jaladuta he got a special vision of Krishna, but Prabhupada did not say that is my qualification for writing books or sharing Krishna consciousness. So his qualification was the instruction of his spiritual master, who in turn was in parampara from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada himself gave an example to His Holiness Jayapataka Swami Maharaj, which Jayapataka Maharaj frequently quotes in his Vyas Puja offerings, that if we have one point, we can draw many lines through that point. But if we have 2 points, we can draw one line through that point, through those 2 points. If we have 3 lines, we can draw only one line through those 3 points. If at all, we can draw one line. So like that, if we just take the statement of one Acharya, then that can be interpreted in many ways by different people. Each of us are like points. We come from our own cultural and psychological backgrounds, and we see the Acharya in a particular way. So from us to the Acharya becomes one particular line, and another person comes from another cultural and psychological background, and that person sees the Acharya in a different way. So then how do these two points come in a particular line? How do we understand that our understanding of Srila Prabhupada is correct or not? You know, we have to not only see Srila Prabhupada's statements themselves, but we have to also see Srila Prabhupada's statements in connection with scriptural statements and in connection with statements of the previous Acharyas. So, this way we understand properly what is actually being said. Now, of course, we may say that Srila Prabhupada never spoke anything outside what previous Acharyas have spoken. In essence, that is true. At the same time, I said an Acharya responds to living situations. So Srila Prabhupada spoke a lot on the theory of evolution, which was not spoken by Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or for that matter by the scriptures themselves directly. Why? Because that theory became more prevalent during Srila Prabhupada's times. And Srila Prabhupada, especially in America, realized that this theory had a dominant effect on shaping people's worldview in a misleading way. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada spoke a lot on that. For that matter, Srila Prabhupada in general gave a lot of space for social commentary in his books. So, social commentary is of course derived from the Vedic scriptures, but it is not directly based on the Vedic scripture. It is not explicitly quoted from the Vedic scriptures. In the Vedic scriptures directly, ideas like political systems like communism and capitalism are not there. So when Srila Prabhupada critiques communism, you know, he is drawing from scriptural principles and applying them to specific situations. So now, can an Acharya draw from sources other than scriptures also in his presentation? Yes, he can. And when he draws from other sources and responds to other situations, then those points, arguments which are made are useful if they help in serving the essential scriptural message. But if they don't, then we are not bound to use them. For example, Srila Prabhupada uses the argument that the sun is closer to the earth than the moon, and he says that is because Sunday comes before Monday. Now Srila Prabhupada, when he used that argument with his personal charisma and potency, the people were so surprised and amazed that they just couldn't respond to it. But if we use this argument, most people who know even the ABCD of logic, they will point it out to us that, you know, this is an example of non sequitur. There is no connection between the point being argued and the supporting and the point that is supposed to support that argument. So where is the evidence that the sequence of the days is in accordance with the distances of the particular celestial objects after which those days are named? Means where is the evidence that the name Sunday has come first because Sunday is closer and Monday is... Basically, the idea that the distances are correlated with the sequence in the week itself is questionable from the logical point of view. So now Srila Prabhupada, in essence, was a warrior. And in a war, so basically establishing philosophical principles in an environment of ignorance and illusion is like fighting a war against illusion. Srila Prabhupada would use this war metaphor frequently. And while fighting a war, a warrior can use different weapons. And some weapons work at certain times, or some weapons may not work at other times. So if they don't work at other times, then it is not that we just keep using the same weapons again and again and again. What Srila Prabhupada taught us is the principle of fighting the war. You know, Srila Prabhupada himself used different weapons from what Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur used. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur, he often would himself wear shirt and pant, and when his Western disciples, when his disciples went to the West, he instructed them to wear shirt and pant to a large extent. And Srila Prabhupada never did that. And actually, to some extent, Srila Prabhupada's traditional attire was a charm. When he went to America, and the hippies like to do far out things, and this dress itself seemed very far out. So it worked out wonderfully for Srila Prabhupada, and Krishna inspired Srila Prabhupada that way. But the point is, Srila Prabhupada did not at all consider that he was in any way deviating from what his spiritual master was doing, and nor was he actually doing it that way. When Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur sent his disciples to preach to America, you know, he focused primarily on presenting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Christian missionaries had criticized Krishna's character as immoral so badly that Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur felt that we should start our preaching with a clean mental slate for people. And that's why bringing Krishna, he felt, was not appropriate. So the primary preaching book that was used by his disciples was the book Sri Krishna Chaitanya, that was written by one of his disciples, Professor Nishikant Sanyal, and which Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur himself personally edited. So practically it was co-authored by both of them. Because he was a professor in a respectable college, Ravenshaw College, I think. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur had the book published in his name. So he said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the thrust of our preaching. Srila Prabhupada did not do that. Srila Prabhupada introduced Chaitanya Mahaprabhu much later. When many of his disciples, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's disciples, when they went abroad, they primarily gave philosophical presentations to the elite people. Srila Prabhupada went to the hippies and did who were considered to be the renegade, the rejects of American society, and he primarily did kirtans. Of course, he gave philosophy, but it was basic philosophy. So if we look at just the strategies that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur instructed his disciples to use for preaching to Europe, and the strategy that Prabhupada used, they are different. Now, what does this mean that Srila Prabhupada was unfaithful to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur? If we think like that, we are not only terribly mistaken in our judgment, but we are also on the path of committing offenses to Srila Prabhupada by thinking like that. Now, are we to also just blind ourselves to these differences in strategies that Srila Prabhupada used, and say that actually Prabhupada just did everything that Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur did? No. These are historical differences. They are well documented, and they force us to think. So one weapon may work in a particular war, and when the ground level situation or the overall scenario of the war is used, that weapon may not work. In the First World War, trench warfare was used for a long time. On both sides, the armies would just dig themselves in trenches, and neither could move forward. But Second World War changed all that, because there was air attack. Somebody might be deep inside a trench which the other person who's on the ground cannot shoot, but people from the sky can drop bombs. So trench warfare became completely outdated and useless by the time of the Second World War. Soldiers, if they just kept using trench warfare in the First World War, they would be completely slaughtered. So Srila Prabhupada himself used different strategies for preaching. And as the situation changes, the strategies for outreach need to change. So Srila Prabhupada changed the strategies as compared to what Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur used. And naturally,
These are contextual.
So, is it absolutely essential that everybody has to use the same strategy for preaching at all times?
Not necessarily.
The principle is we have to share Krishna consciousness with the world, and whatever way the particular situation calls for, that is the way we will share Krishna consciousness. So, that's why the idea that certain statements of the acharyas, certain guidelines are contextual is well documented. In fact, if we are not going to recognize certain statements of the acharyas as contextual and we try to absolutize every single statement of the acharya, we might be treading towards a Vaishnava version of Mayavad. Mayavad holds that the Guru is God, and when we try to make every word of the spiritual master infallible, and thereby we equate the spiritual master with God. And did Srila Prabhupada claim like that? Srila Prabhupada never said that he was God. And did Srila Prabhupada actually claim that every single word that he is saying is perfect? Srila Prabhupada said that to the that his message is perfect because he is repeating scripture. So, are there instances where Srila Prabhupada recognized that what he was saying is not perfect? Yes, Srila Prabhupada has said that directly in his own Bhagavatam purports. In the 5th chapter of the 1st canto, where Narad Muni is telling Vyasadeva that even if the literature tadva visargo janata no yasmin prati shloka vandivityam, that even if every single word of the scripture of the message that glorifies the Supreme Lord is filled with inaccuracies, imperfections, but because that purpose of glorifying the Lord is not just valid but glorious, wise people will take that message and accept it gratefully. So in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes that our attempts to present this great message in a foreign language will certainly fail. And then Srila Prabhupada says it is a science of technical values and language is not important. So Srila Prabhupada here admits that his English is not perfect, and he is asking people to look beyond the English to the message. Certainly this is Srila Prabhupada's humility, but it is also a recognition of a fact. And Srila Prabhupada later tried to correct this fact by having editors edit his books. So they didn't change the message, but they certainly did change the grammatical structure and other things where it was not according to the standards of grammar. And Srila Prabhupada not only approved that, Srila Prabhupada asked for it. Srila Prabhupada engaged those editors to edit his books. So, if we are going to have a naive understanding that every single statement that the Acharya has made is absolutely, eternally perfect, then not only are we making Guru into God and we are going to slipping towards Mayavad, but actually our own faith will be extremely insecure internally, and that's why it will be very extremely aggressive externally. Now, to some extent this is what happens among fanatical followers of religion. Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur himself says that aggressive intellectualism is coward atheism. So that means if my faith internally is not strong, I try to compensate for that internal insecurity by external aggressiveness. And today we are seeing this among the fanatical sections of Islam, where anybody who finds a fault with any of their religious books, immediately there is violent reprisal. So certainly sacred characters or sacred books should not be blasphemed. But this sort of violent reaction can very well be a reflection of an internal insecurity. Now, so Srila Prabhupada himself was quite candid about these things. Harishwari Prabhu told me personally about an incident that one time he went to Srila Prabhupada when he was serving Srila Prabhupada, and he told him that, "Prabhupada, I have found a mistake in your purpose." Srila Prabhupada, "What is it?" Srila Prabhupada asked him. Srila Prabhupada's response was not that you are committing Guru Aparad and you are going to go to hell for committing Guru Aparad. I am free from all four defects. How can you say such a thing? You are blasphemying your Guru. Prabhupada did not think. Prabhupada just asked him, "What is it?" And then he told a specific point there. There was a description in the Bhagavatam of the battle